sounds better. I have a little testimony. Last week when Pastor was preaching, every part of the sermon was me. And I know he called three names out. And after he said it, he said that it was just for demonstration purposes only. And I know that it's more than one crystal in here, but that crystal was meant for this crystal. And I pressed to come to church last Sunday. I pressed to come to church this Sunday. And in communion, Pastor was talking about the atmosphere shifting. I felt it. Like, it was like I was not coming here. And it was like just a switch, like, real quick, like, okay, I'm happy. I feel it. I can keep moving. And that alone right there is a testimony by itself. But last week, Pastor speaked on Jesus fits my life. And he came from James. Let me open it up. James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, I was going through it, as I said, everywhere. I mean, I have my little notes. I had the stress, the trouble, the transition, and tired trying to breathe, and even the trials. And today, listening to freedom, that was confirmation. I've been free. I didn't have to go through it how I went through. Because I was already free. So now the rest of the stuff that I have to go through, I know that I can go through it another way because I am free. So when those thoughts come, when people come, no, I am free. But what I wanted to say was I've been in a position at work for 7 months that is a position that doesn't exist. It's just me there. It was in a contract, supposed to have been for 2 months. So for 7 months, that's God. When Pastor was talking about that person, what quit, because I quit Friday before. I was not going to work that Monday. And he said, go back to work. I know he was talking to Crystal. Because I went into the office a week and a half ago, and I talked to my supervisor, and I was like, okay, so what is going on, you know? What is the position? Like, how is we going to move forward in this? And she was like, oh, I don't know. I think they're going to eventually let you go. So the way I felt, me being Crystal, I know that I can flip real quick. And God had me in a position that I couldn't say anything. And I just was like, okay, I walked out, told my husband, I'm done. They are paying someone extra than what I am getting paid for the job. They telling me they letting me go, so I'm done. But I had decided on my way home that Friday I was going to go back to work Monday, but Pastor confirmed it, go back to work. So I went back to work Monday. I worked as regular. Tuesday, my supervisor had a meeting, and I was not included in the meeting. I kind of felt like, why are they having a meeting without me? So was kind of discouraged. So after lunch, she was like, Crystal, I need to speak to you. Okay. So I was kind of nervous. I'm like, oh, this is the day. I had packed all my stuff in my office, tuck it to my car. She called me in, and she said, that position that was not a position has been offered to you. It has been made a position for me. There's nobody at my job that has been there less than 10 years. I have been in this job for 7 months, and I'm so glad that God spoke to Pastor and say, go back to work. And I know he called Crystal and said, demonstration purposes only. And God is using me for a demonstration, for purposes only, for him to get the glory. And I want somebody in here to know, hold on, because God got you.
Give him a round of, give God some glory. Amen. Amen. God will make a way out of nowhere. Y'all about to make me preach up in here. Amen. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Oh, Lord. I don't even know what to do with that. We can just sit down and go home. But y'all know me better than that. Because I would do a disservice to the people of God if I wouldn't share the word. Amen. I believe testimonies like that are so important, and that's not the only one. It's not the only one. This is a place of miracles. This is a place of signs and wonders. But sometimes it's not always on the outside. It's on the inside. And oftentimes God will give you a test first to see if you can handle the blessing. And so, ma'am, you have passed the test. Amen. Amen. And I know without a doubt she's going to tell everybody about what the Lord has done. Amen. 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 Thank you, singers. Y'all just standing up there like, what's happening? All right. I love y'all. I love y'all. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. And it goes as follows. It says, therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, this is God talking here, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then God said, then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? This is important. What shall I say to them? Moses said. And notice what the Lord is saying in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Repeating, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Amen. The title of this morning's message, which is part one in the three-part series, I am God. I am God. I am God. God exists. God does not exist. God can be known. God is a figment of man's imagination. What is God like? What if God was one of us? Did he create evil? I think I got your attention now. Is he all good? God is a he. God is a she. No, you are both wrong. God is me. The God of Islam is the same as the God of Israel, isn't it? How about this? I don't believe in God, but I do believe there is a higher power. God is the universe. In God we trust. In God we fight. In God we hate. In God we tolerate. In the face of God, we sin and dare to be judged by him. So many familiar thoughts. So many familiar statements. And to it all, God says, with an infinite voice, I am who I am. He declares that to us now, just as he did to Moses in the burning bush. The timeless truth that God is nothing like we have ever known. We don't know him, but we can know him. And the reason why we can know him is because of the Bible and the scriptures. If it were not for that text, that ancient book from so many years ago, we would have very little insight into who he really is. We all have something on the inside that yearns to know. Is there something greater than what it could be right now? Something on the inside of all of us. That's your GPS system. That's your God positioning system. Something. I can feel it. I know it. I know there's something, but I'm not sure as to what it is. And that's the reason why there's so many religions, because when people don't really know, they make up stuff. In order to answer the burning question, is there something else out there? So we have, outside of the text, very little understanding of who God is. For example, did you know that outside of Adam and Eve, there were actually very few words and people that God revealed himself to? I mean, we know of Cain and Abel and the tragedy they experienced when Cain killed his brother, because his brother gave an offering that was acceptable to God, but the only thing that Cain had was flesh. God spoke and he said, I heard your brother's blood crying out from the ground. Then there was Enoch, a humble man of God, who was known to have walked with him, and it was the first time we saw an Old Testament rapture. He was so close to God, and God said, Noah, I'm not going to allow for you to experience death. I'm going to take you right now. Then several hundreds of years later, at the death of Methuselah, God spoke to Noah regarding the judgment of the old world, and again at the Tower of Babel, until finally through the life experiences of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and lastly Joseph, who, by the way, only heard of God through a dream. And what's more amazing is that those stories and biographies were not penned by any of the names I mentioned. Crazy. They were actually penned by Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch or Torah. The funny thing about all of that is that he wrote those books about events that he was not even present at. I am who I am. Moses is the only one in Scripture who spoke to God mouth to mouth. To make it simple, Moses was the only one who had dialogue with God. He asked God something. God spoke back to him. Who are you, Lord? In the burning bush, full of flame. An angel of the Lord appeared in there. The angel of the Lord is not an angel with wings that like the one that may be pictured in your mind. I'm talking about Jesus in the Old Testament. The bush was burning, but it wasn't burning. It was a flame. It was a theophany. It was the only way that man could understand something about God. And then out of the midst of the burning bush, a voice came, Moses, Moses. That's the reason why, as people of God, you can't make somebody be saved just because you invited them to church. God has to interrupt and turn over their apple cart and penetrate their heart by calling to them personally. Moses, Moses, Dewan, Dewan. Jamari, Jamari, Jacqueline, Jacqueline, God has to speak to your heart individually. Then you come, because you want to find out about that voice. And that's exactly what Moses did. He began to dialogue with God. Lord, is that you? Lord, I'm hearing you. So Moses serves as one of the primary sources of information about the most powerful entity in and outside of the universe. So the question that is asked this morning, what can we know about God? So in this second slide, we need to understand that God is over everything else. No, you missed it. When you look at that graphic on the screen, it's not just saying God over everything. While that is true, what it is saying is that everything that you see around you that has been built by humans, including the humans themselves, the clothes, the cars, the creatures, the fowls of the air, the birds of the air and the creeping things that are under the ocean and on land, all of those things are nowhere close to God. None of them. So there's God and everything else. They're totally separate from each other. So it does God a disservice when you try to make up stuff or come up with a religion in order to understand who he is. How many of you ever heard the term, don't speak for me? Don't speak for me. I can speak for myself. And so when we have the scriptures, that's God speaking for himself. Religion is when man tries to speak for God. Did you get that? Religion is when man tries to come up with something in order to speak to God. That's why God used fallible men, men who are not perfect, in order to communicate his infallible word. I always ask people the question, if you are a criminal that killed 5 people and you said what goes up must come down, is that criminal still telling the truth? And the answer is yes. The criminal's life may be in disarray, but his message is still full of integrity. So no men didn't just write the Bible. They were instruments in the hand of a ready writer and expressed his influence through those vessels in order to communicate a word. Because if God were to write it himself, would you even understand? Amen. Now that you know the truth that there is God and he is totally separate from everything else in the known world and known universe. So what can we? Well, number one, he is the creator. I am God, and besides me, there is none other. He is the creator. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the most famous scripture in the Bible, the one verse that even a little child can memorize during Easter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? Can we go deeper for just for a moment? See, there's a lot in this loaded statement. There's all types of theories. I'm not going to get into that. But in this loaded verse, we see the origin of all creation and the cause of all creation. Very important. See, for those of you that come from a scientific background, a skeptical background, you have to understand that there is a first cause to everything. A first cause. And God was not created by anything. If he was, then I want to know who that is. But there has to be a first cause. And you can't keep on saying over and over again, going backwards, that there is something that created something. No. There has to be an originator of everything. In other words, there has to be something that throws something in a distance. Those are the planets right there. The hand that pushed it is God. Is God. So he is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens. And then the earth. This lets us know that the heavens were created first, not at the same time. You don't see in any of the 7 days of creation where God said on the 4th day or the 5th day that he created the angels. But you know they're there, because when Adam and Eve showed up inside of the garden, there was the serpent being empowered by a demonic spirit, Satan, to get them out of focus and out of right relationship with God. Okay, preacher, I follow you that point. So when were the angels and the heavenly abode created? Let's look at Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7 says, where were you And let me preface this with, Job was feeling some kind of way about God. Like all of us do at some point in time in our life. We feel some kind of way about God. Sometimes we get angry at God. Sometimes we get frustrated with God. We get told by the preacher to talk to God, and we don't even know the first thing to say. And so Job was going through a whole bunch of trouble in his life. And he began to question God. Why am I going through all this, God? Aren't you strong enough to end all of this calamity? Why weren't you there when the building fell on my family and killed all of my children? Why didn't you say anything when I had boils begin to blow up on my arms and then on my legs? Why did you have to send four fools to tell me about God and they don't even know him properly? And then God talked to Job and he said, stand up like a man since you're talking trash about me. And he said in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements? Since you know so much, who stretched the line on it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So as God was creating the earth, the angels were watching. Yes, yes. You missed it. Verse 7 says it clearly. When the morning stars sang together. Now you know good and well that it's not talking about no star called Orion. Or the one that you look up at your horoscope as a Christian, which is kind of strange because instead of getting your identity from the creator, you get it from creation. Therefore, it's limited in its answers. So when the morning stars sung together, when the angels were singing, as God was forming and setting up creation, they were like, wow, look at God, wow. And then God was like, man, you weren't even in existence. Who are you to tell me what's going on? You weren't even there. And yet scientists keep on telling us through the process of evolution that they have never observed that they know what happened. And they have no clue. So the heavenly world was created first, and it was not part of the days. That's the first part. But then there's the second part, which is the natural world. The natural world. This is the 7 days of creation. The 7 days of creation. And so I'm just going to give you a nice little overview of the days. The first day is when light and darkness were made. Light and darkness. But let me give you a nice little secret. Light is not the sun. Light is what the sun gives off. See, you have a sun that has heat, that has light, and it's a rock. Three parts, but it's all one sun. Somebody's going to get it in just a moment. All right. So when God created the heavens and the earth, he started off with creating the power to run everything in the entire universe. Here's what my glory looks like, and here's what it's like when there's not there. So it suffices to say that perhaps hell is anything that's outside of the light of God. Darkness. Second day is the atmosphere and oceans. Third day is the land and vegetation. And then look at that. That was the third day. And then the fourth day, the sun, moon, and stars. So the sun was not created until after the light. We always thought that the sun was created the first day, but not until the fourth day. Then the fifth day, animals for the air. As well as in water, the 6 day animals for the land, and then man, the number six is the number of man. Let us know that we have limitations, but that was the area of creation that God finished. He was the pinnacle of all living things. Therefore, don't ever call yourself just an animal. And it is an insult to God to act like an animal. Because out of all of his creation, you were made in his image and his likeness. His image and his likeness. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Rest in the Old Testament Hebrew doesn't just mean he was just tired from all of his work. It just means that he was being at peace and he was quiet. In other words, he was just done with that part. But isn't he still working in us right now? So he is the creator, but then he's also a spirit. A spirit. John chapter 4, verse 22 through 24 says, you worship what you don't know. That's what happened to all of many people going back for many, many years. Because some people be like, there was stuff and people around before the Bible came out, and that's true. But they created religions to try to find out about something that they did not know. And so Jesus said himself, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews and from the Jews. That's Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, but it doesn't stop right there. In verse 23, it says, but an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth, not deeds and works. So you can't worship God based on a religion. But why am I in church? To learn about God and how he is diametrically different from religion. See, when you love God, you do and you manifest his character through your life. But you have to have a right identification of who he is. So he's a spirit. We only partially have a spirit. That's a part of us, but it's not our totality. And that's the reason why when you come to church, we don't always just feed just your mind through just talking about science and architecture. We don't just exercise your body by just running around a church and raising your hand. But the reason why you come to church is so that your spirit is filled with the knowledge of God. People are wondering, why are there so many tragedies and why are so many shootings and why can't we pass enough laws in order to stop all this crime? It's because people have a lack of the knowledge of God. The scripture says that when the earth is filled with the knowledge of God, after the coming of Jesus Christ in the last days, that even the animals will go back to their state before Adam and Eve sinned. Therefore, the scripture says that the child will be able to reach into the pit of the viper and pull it out and not get bitten. A lion could walk by and not look at you as food. You will walk by your neighbor and you won't have the urge to steal, to kill, to take that person's spouse, to envy somebody, to put a graven image inside of your house above the dinner table. Ooh. You have to have a proper view of God. And this gives me the second piece, which is we have to have a wonderful view of God. Put that slide up, Jamar. We have to have a proper view of God. This is a good statement, and this is something that everybody should understand. Your view of God reflects your view of life. How you see him dictates how you see the world or what lenses you look through. Just like I have these glasses right here and I can see clearly to some extent. And the reason why I need glasses is because in my natural state, I have something wrong with my eyes. It's called an astigmatism. So I have to wear them so that I can see clearly. Now, you may have 20/20 vision naturally, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a person can't see the world clearly unless it's defined for them. And you can't just ask another person because another person doesn't know everything. Another person can't give you your identity. Only God can. He is a spirit. The next thing that I wanted to share with you is that he has no name. Regardless of who knocks on your door, he has no name. Well, prove it, preacher. Well, going back to the opening text, Moses, who was just trying to comprehend what was going on and who was talking to him, said the following, or reacted to the following as God was speaking to him. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? God was saying, you're going to do this for me. You will. This puts a little bit of conundrum, and as a part of coming attractions, sometimes God doesn't give you a choice. You will do, or else. I must preach, or else I'll be sick as a dog, not only in my body, but in my mind. I'll go insane. And I pray that you have the same type of experience, to where the mission of God is so heavy on your life that you can only do what he says. No matter what area of life that you're in, whether it's a part of law enforcement, the medical community, as a volunteer, or even somebody that's helping individuals take care of the children inside of church, if that is God's calling on your life, you must do it. And if you don't know what God has called you to do in this life, keep seeking him. Amen. He's the one who has all the answers. Verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? So anybody knocks on your door, you go to this verse. And what shall I say to them? Now, let me give you the Duval County remix to this. All right. That's where I'm from. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. I'll give you the Duval County remix. So God said to Moses, I am who I am. In other words, they could call me whatever they want, but as for this particular moment, I'm going to tell you who I am. My name is I Am. Now, that doesn't sound like a name. It sounds like a pattern of existence. But what about Jehovah? Jehovah isn't his name. Jehovah is just a part of his character. But God himself, and if there's anybody else who knows what their name is, it's him. And he said, I am who I am. I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That's the reason why we just say God. He doesn't have a name, but he does have characteristics. Yes. He doesn't have a name, but he has characteristics. Nowhere in scripture do you see God reveal his name. Nowhere. And he told the man exactly what folks should call him. You don't know who God is? It's the great I am. I am. Now, if you just are what? If he didn't, just think about this. Indulge me for a moment. If I said that, I would say, I am a man. If my wife said that, she would say, I am a woman. If you said that, you may say, I am a teacher. I am a leader. I am a business person. I am a mother, I am a father. But all those things are extensions of creation. Do you get what I'm saying? So he stops because he's not a created thing. He just says, I am. I am. But because we are human and because we can't comprehend all of who he is, He shared with us through the times and seasons, and you'll see this on the next slide, where God is revealing himself through three ways. The first way is that he reveals himself through creation. If you're ever feeling bad and sad and down and out, just go to the beach and look at his creation. If you're feeling upset about something, just save your little pennies together and go on a nice boat ride to the Caribbean and look outside and be like, look at God's creation. God is in the islands. He's in the islands. If you're ever wondering why you're feeling so low, look up at a starry sky with a full moon and breathe in the nighttime air. Listening to the crickets, tiptoe through the tulips, and behold the creation, something that man has not created. That's the reason why people spend so much money going on vacation. They do that just to look at what God has done. And humans just put hotels there so that they can make money off of God's creation. Nothing wrong with vacation. I'm going to go too because I need to see what God has done. That's why you feel relaxed when you're out there, especially if you don't fuss before you go. There's a reason for that. So he has characteristics. But what are those characteristics? There's plenty. So God is expressed and has revealed himself through creation. That's the first way. So if you don't know anything else, all you have to do is just look at the stars and be like, I didn't do any of this. But yet it looks like it's in complete order, night and day. It's hot outside, you have rain. You have animals, and you can eat them. For all my vegans out there, you can look at the plants. And you can eat those too. And somehow it won't kill you. It's already there. One example. The second example is that you look at the scriptures. So you just can't just look at nature only because some people stop there. That's why you have Wiccans. That's why you have pantheists, and that's why you have tree huggers or people that worship nature so much. Don't step on that ant. Don't chop down that tree. You're hurting God. But God is not his creation. If it were so, that means that he would be easily identifiable. There's God and then there's everything else. So through scripture, you will be able to know him. And then finally, through Jesus. Through Jesus. So you see, the many characteristics that I just named to you, or the way that God reveals himself and his character, is identified by some names that the old Jewish writers assigned to him. The first one is Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. He is my shield. He goes before me. Then there's the Jehovah Ra, which means he is my shepherd. He guides. He guides my life as a shepherd. He lifts me up when I fall into the pitfalls of life, and then he corrects me when I'm being extremely hard-headed. He's my shepherd. If you don't know him, then you wouldn't know that aspect about him. You would believe that he's just the judge. Only God can judge me, and this is the picture that he has in your mind, and you're hoping that you're going to slide by into heaven. But that's not the way that God wants to approach his children. He would rather lift you up instead. Jehovah Shammah, that means he's ever present. He's always there. Jehovah Jireh, that means he is my provider. Has he provided for you? I know he has for me. When my wife and I were unemployed for 9 months together, during the early days of this church, we did not know if we were going to be able to keep the doors open. But yet and still, we had faith in God, and we tithed out of our unemployment check. $27.50 a week is what we gave. But we still did it, and God provided. And we're still here today. Has he provided for you? Stay close to him. Reach out to him and he will do so. Then there's Jehovah Shalom. He'll bring you peace. You ever have a loved one that has died and has passed away? If that person knew God, you can say rest in heaven. And that's a good thing. And while you're mourning on earth, they're not feeling the same way about it. They're happy because they're with God. And if they are sad about anything, it's if you don't make it. But prayerfully, if you know Jesus, you will see your loved one again. So he brings you perfect peace, the type of peace that allows for you to rest on a ship that's tossing to and fro in the storms of life. The disciples were wondering, Jesus, there's a storm outside. He was at rest inside of the hull of the ship. But then he had to transform and show his glory. And he reached out and he talked to the sea and he said, peace, be still. And he didn't, no. Picture this in your mind. When you look at the word peace and it be still, remember there was a storm. And when God said, be quiet, I created you, the clouds moved away. The sun was able to be seen clearly. And the ocean that was rippling and beating against the side of the ship became like a sea of glass. When God gives you peace, it's like nothing else. Like nothing else. I am God. I am who I am. Then there's Jehovah Sabaoth. He's the commander of the angelic armies. That means that he has charge over the rest of the angels. Satan took a third, but God has the rest. And he's in charge, watch this, of them all. See, an angel can be rebel, but you need to understand what happened. Because when a demonic spirit enters into the spirit of a person, where that demonic being enters into a person, remember Jesus when he came into the presence of Legion? Legion began to shake and he says, have you come to torment me before my time? And Jesus did the same thing again. Be quiet. Peace. Be still. He told the storm that was going on the outside of the disciples, be quiet. Clear skies. Sea of glass. Then there was a storm that was going on in the side of the soul of a man. And he said, peace, be still, come out him, go into the pig, go into the swine. Don't throw your pearls before a swine-minded people. It's a side note. Amen. Then there's Jehovah Sitkanu. That means he is our righteousness. Have you ever wondered how in the world could he love and cover a wretch like I am? I was watching Billy Graham's commercial, a funeral service, and one of the songs that still touches my soul was, just as I am. It is the classic song when people come to the altar to give their life to Jesus. Just as you are, God still loves you. Just as you are, he takes his righteousness and puts it on your unrighteousness. Just as you are, he works with you. He says you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have everything in alignment. You don't have to have all of the money, all the cars, all of this. No. You don't. Just as you are, I got you. I'll fill in the blank for you. You don't know how to fill out the application to get into heaven. Guess what? I'm going to pour blood all over it. And you can get it. So it's not based on what you have done. That is how we do things on this planet. It is based on what he has done. He is our righteousness. And finally, Jehovah Mekedoshim. He is our sanctifier. You see, the wonderful thing about righteousness is that he clothes us. So you can come to him just as you are, but you can't stay the same. You can't stay the same. See, once again, a lot of people believe that God must beat himself into you
and you shall be submitted. You are now a slave in the mind. You can't control for yourself. You can't think for yourself. No. It's not like that. Jesus, who revealed God to us on a deeper level, says that you are my friend. We're in this together. I'm going to show you how to live and see the world through my eyes. When you see the world through the eyes of Jesus, it changes everything about you. See, you don't have to have Pastor Barton say, stop cussing in church, or stop cussing out in the parking lot, or stop using profanity, or stop sleeping with this person or that. But you don't have to have me say that to you. When you love God, you naturally want to be like, oh, I just want to do what he says. I want to please him. That I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. You look at suffering different. You don't be like, oh, God, here we go again. You're like, oh, God, here we go again. Let me see what the challenge will be for today. At least I'm inside of the classroom being able to take the test. Because you know there are some classes that you can't even get into. So be glad that you're taking tests. That means that you have the teacher before you. And then finally, Yeshua. The Hebrew word for Jesus. He is our Savior. Those are his characteristics. And in part two, I'm going to talk about Jesus. But then, as we move further into the latter part of today's message, we need to understand that he is not his creation. So, before you buy that gold chain in the middle of the kiosk in the mall with Jesus' head on it, I just want to let you know that 9 times out of 10, they ain't him. It's not him. When you see that nice little artwork inside of mama's dining room table, that's not him. That is a depiction of what he may look like to some other folk. Very important, right? Now, some people be like, well, that's a white Jesus. But you have to understand that the people that were around during that time weren't trying to say that he's not a black Jesus either. It's just that people sometimes create art that reflects their own culture. It had no animosity behind it. It's so important for us to understand that. So he is not his creation. You can't look at a chair and say, that's God. You can't look at a person and be like, that's God. You can't look at a sign up in the sky and say, be like, that's God. You have no idea what he looks like. And God is perfectly fine with that. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 says this to people who try to say that God is this or that. He said, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature or the creation rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Why does a particular president have more pull over your life than God? Why does that person have more pull over your life than Jesus Christ? Why is your mood thwarted and you start feeling some kind of way over what God has said? These are questions. But this leads us to the next point, number 6, is that he is a mystery. He is a mystery. The reason why you got this head up here, you know, as mama said, why you so hard-headed? It's because God built within our bodies a sign that we are limited. So just look at your head with your hard-headed self. And I'm not saying that in a stubborn way. I'm just saying your head is hard for a reason. It's protecting what's on the inside. Inside. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So he is a mystery. A mystery. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 through 9 says in the NASB verse, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You can think about Jesus, but don't think you got him cornered. You can think about God, and you can rest in God, and you can love God, and you can honor God, but don't think that you have put him inside of some type of pigeonhole description based on your anthropomorphic thinking. God is wholly other. He is a spirit. But the good news is that we have insight into who he really is because of Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 18 says, and get this. Verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. But didn't Moses see him in a burning bush? He did. See what he revealed to him. We understand fire. We know what that is. But God isn't fire. He formed himself into an image of something that we could understand, but that ain't him. See, the scripture says that there was the angel of the Lord that represent himself as the fire. So any image that we see that is of God is actually the Son, Jesus. But no one has seen God. No one has seen God. Amen. No one has seen him. But notice the latter part of that verse. It says the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, however, he has declared him. Now, what does declare mean? Declare means tell somebody about it. Yes. So, we've never seen God. We may have seen an angel. We may have seen a spirit. You seen your pastor. You saw Love and Hip Hop last night, an unsung with Vesta. Vesta Williams. You saw that. But nobody's seen God. And I wonder why that is. Because I believe it's so that he can see you. Not just the outside, but the part that is invisible, and that is your spirit. And then finally, as I close, he is a loving father. He is a loving father. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Billy Graham says, if you come to my funeral, don't look for me and don't mourn for me. He says, I'm not in the box. If anything, smile, because I will finally be in the arms of my heavenly Father. Rejoice, people, rejoice. I can say that at the last of my days, don't mourn for Pastor Martin. Cry, of course, but don't just celebrate. Just to celebrate the fact that I will be with God. And if you are in God, we'll see each other again. So his son declared that. And in verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to be condemned or to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you see those two parts there? God says that he loves people in the world, even those that reject him. You know what it's like to feel rejected? It feels terrible, doesn't it? But you also know what it's like to love past the rejection feelings that you have. If you have ever given somebody a second chance, then you know what it's like. Or you know how God feels when he has given us second, third, 500, 9,000th chances. He loves you. Now let me tell you this one last thing. Just because God loves you doesn't mean he's going to do whatever you want. Do you get that? Just because
God loves you doesn't mean that he's going to give you somebody that you have no business being with. God, I pray that you would send somebody into my life. And God did. It just hasn't gotten to you yet. But what you do is that you want to pick somebody from creation without even consulting him. And then you're in a crazy situation. Seek God first. I don't even know why. I just wanted to share that. So he loves you. So yes, God does love, but he has two sides. Don't you forget that. God saved you from himself, for those of you that are saved. What do you mean by that? Well, there's two sides of God. There's the loving father side that wants to lift you up. But how many of you know, if you ever had a father in your life or a man in your life that don't play the foolishness? You know that God also has a Papa don't take that mess side too. Papa don't take no mess. God has that side too. He won't take any mess. And he won't just take you just being the same. He'll take you by way of his son Jesus. He saved you from himself, because there's coming a day that God will be the judge over heaven and in earth, over every wicked thing and every wicked person that does not know him. But for those of you that are saved, you don't have to worry about it at all. Just be loved by him. When he lifts you up, celebrate. When he corrects you, celebrate. Because a good father chastens and corrects those that he loves. So don't get the suffering that you're going through twisted. Sometimes you're going through because you've been hearted, you didn't listen. Because God knows, just like many of us parents, that we have two types of children. We have those that listen to just words, and all you have to do is just hug them, and they'd be like, yes, mama, I'll do it. I'll do right. Yes, daddy, I'll do it. I'm so disappointed in you. I'll do it right. And that just. But then you got some kids that you can hug them and love up on them, and they'll be like, please, I'm still bringing the girl to the house after you leave and go to work. And so for them type, you got to put the paws on them. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Didn't I tell you, don't you ever do that again? I raised you better than that. And that's how God oftentimes treats us. With our old selves, we were disobedient to him. But at least, while he may be mad, you still got a father. Amen. Amen. So as I conclude, come on, stand to your feet. Amen. All these things that God is, even that graphic there, is famously known as the eye of God. If you have a Hubble telescope inside of the back of your house, you can see it. But that isn't God. Because there's nothing in creation that will define him. He is a spirit, not stars. He is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, please understand and know that God is uncreated. God is infinite. You want to know what God's address in heaven is? Just look up the last number in the universe and you'll find. He is also eternal. That means he has no end. He's necessary, for without him, we couldn't live. He does not change. And I'm glad, because out of everything that's so inconsistent in this world, people, they with you, they not with you. They love you today, hate you tomorrow. I got your back, then they got a knife in the other hand. That's how it is, right? But God is not like his creation. He's totally different. He is consistent. God is also the judge, as I said earlier. He will judge.
But the good news is that because he sent his son Jesus, who came, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day, his love extends past the sins that you have committed in your life. Therefore, you do not have to worry about being judged with your crazy self. You've been saved. And if you have not been saved and you don't know him, I'm not talking about you just growing up in church. That doesn't mean that you know God. Everybody can go to a church or go to a building. It is your character. It is your life. It is how you treat one another that really shows whether or not you are a believer. That is a true mark of a Christian. Amen.
God is love. So, Father, as we end today's service, I pray and I thank you for everything that you're doing. I thank you for bringing us clarity to who you are. I also thank you for not revealing everything to us because we couldn't take it. Lord God, we thank you that you are high above the heavens and that your thoughts are not our thoughts and that your ways are not our ways. I'm glad that you created us. I'm glad that you put the stars, the moon, the sky together so that we can behold and be at rest. I'm thankful for creation. I'm thankful for your word, for the scriptures so that we can search them and find the keys and the meaning to life. And most of all, Lord God, I thank you for your son, Jesus. You sent your only begotten son to reveal who you are to all of mankind. We thank you for sending your son who has loved us past our condition. And we thank you now and we honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I pray that this morning's message touched your heart. I pray that you have at least a better view of who God is versus somebody around the neighborhood that told you what they think God is. They ain't never set foot in the church, don't even like God, don't like preachers, don't like none of that stuff. They just on the internet looking at YouTube videos for 30 hours in the middle of the night. Be careful of false prophets and teachers, whether offline or online. But I'm so glad that you're here this morning, and I pray that each and every one of you gets closer to God like never before. And if there's somebody in your life that needs to know who God is, tell them to come out next week as we talk about Jesus. I am Jesus. I am God. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants you to come next week. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. Amen. I love you. I love you. If you're a visitor, I just need to see you just for 2 minutes, just so that I can say hello to you.